One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
When Jesus comes. From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away, for he takes the gloves.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. And Jesus said, no, it's not a spirit, it's me. Don't be afraid. Simon Peter said, if it be thou, Well, Bud, you just fixin' get capsized. Just put her down, son. Your little boat's already taken on water. If it be thou, demonstrate yourself and let me walk on the water. And Jesus said, we'll help you, sir. Come on. He made about 4 or 5 nice steps. And let me tell you something. If a fella could walk 4 steps on top of the water without going, he could walk 900 miles. But there was something happened to him. You know what it was? He put that little doubt in that if there before he started out. No man can walk very far for God if in God. Did you know that? Didn't Jesus get through telling him who he was? Sure he did. But he didn't believe it. He said if. What did he do? He doubted the word of Jesus. And that's what's wrong with most of us right now. We don't believe the word of God. We don't actually, we haven't literally put ourselves and stretched ourselves out on the Word of God. Old Billy Bray, you know, that old simple convert, lived like the devil so long the Lord took him and got a hold of him, saved him from his sin. And Billy Bray couldn't get enough. He'd sing and hoop and holler and shout and make a lot of racket down the church, and they'd caution him, try to close him down and try to taper him off. And finally one day, somebody got to talking with him about the fact he was so sure he was saved, and he said, why, he said, Billy, he said, how do you know? How do you know? He said, don't you know that you just might wake up one of these days lost? Why, he said, no, not me. He said, my trust is in Jesus. He said, I could stretch the weakest promise. I could stretch the weakest promise in the Bible over the very pits of hell and turn somersaults on it and never get scared. Amen. In other words, he said, God's keeping me. The Lord's keeping me. All right, and it came to pass after these things that God did tip or test or try Abraham, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am, present and on time. That's it. Abraham, he said, yes, sir, I'm listening. Here I am. He said, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, folks, if I didn't believe God was right every time, I'd say that doesn't make a lick of sense. If the preacher's worried, so will his people be. If he sounds a low note, they'll sound a low note. If he looks sad, they'll look about like him. If he murmurs, they'll murmur. And that's true with a husband. Nearly every wife takes on the attitude of her husband. If he complains and whines and fusses and growls all the time, she'll get it herself. And then here comes a bunch of little old kids, and they'll get it too. That's the truth. You know, I can't figure out how in the world we're going to raise better kids than we got parents. If we want to hatch better chickens, we better work on the incubators. Oh, listen, dear friend. You know, I tell you, if I had my life to live over, I sure would try to be more contagious with the right thing around my family, especially my children as they come up, you see. Because we had a great time. We weren't around each other enough to know each other, hardly, never have been. But if somehow or another, I'll tell you, I'd do my best to load them with the book. Load them with the book. If I had a little child to rear now, and I doubt if God wants, and I know every once in a while an emergency arises, and sometimes these grandpas and grandmas, they think, well, I could really take a generation of children and raise them. No, you already had your chance. It's yours. That's about all. I doubt if God ever intends for people to try to raise another family. I'm talking about the normal thing. Now, there comes exceptions. You know that. But I never have seen, I don't know of any grandmas and grandpas that I thought was ever fit to raise the grandkids. That's right. I mean, they just somehow or other, they just kind of did what they supposed to do when they brought theirs up and then run out. And one of the reasons I know what I'm talking about is because I'm getting the boys, delinquent boys that stayed with their grandma and grandpa. Nearly every one of them turned out bad. I don't know why, but they somehow or other, they don't command the respect of the boys, of the little fellas. They don't do it. I believe that if I could be with them enough, I believe there's one thing, they might think I'm mighty hard, but I demand the respect. You talk about discipline. I believe that a child is sort of like a bird dog. About 9/10 of his training is discipline. You just got to make him mind you. You got to conquer him one way or the other. I mean, that's it. Just got to conquer him. Got to bring him under. Just got to make him throw up the white flag and say, Daddy or Granddaddy, as far as I'm concerned, you're the king around here. And I haven't got any sense, you got it all. And when you train them like that, and they'll trust you and respect you, and then the daddy has the mind of the Lord. The Bible said, children, obey your parents where? In the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's where the wisdom comes from. And a little child hasn't got any sense. You got to teach him. You got to help him. He's got to look up to somebody. No, I tell you, Abraham was a great daddy. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, and want you to offer him, get up on a mountain, and I'll tell you about it. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. Remember, faith never argues with God. Faith never whines and never reasons and never rationalizes and said, Lord, you know, Abraham could have said, Lord, wait a minute. I want to talk to you a minute. You know, I waited a long time for that little fella. You know, I got in trouble because we got in a hurry. And you know, Sarah brought in somebody and I'm ashamed of that, and it's caused a lot of heartache in my home. And Lord, you know we run ahead of you, and we just already apologized to you, and you forgave us. And now then, Lord, you come and tell me that Isaac, I said, oh, that Ishmael may live, you know. And you said, no, Ishmael's not the right one. I'm going to give you and Sarah, I told you, I'm going to give you all a one of your own. And said, now, he didn't argue about that. I think Abraham just went on sleep. Woke up next morning knowing he's heading for the mountains. Brother, faith is a wonderful thing. Real faith never questions the wisdom of God. Never. Real faith obeys and trails right on behind the word of God. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to remind you that faith doesn't make a man perfect, but it gives him perfect confidence in the one that is perfect. Now, I want to show you something else. And I don't mean to cast off on the women, because God knows they're usually better Christians and sweeter people than a bunch of us old rusty-headed men. More tender-hearted and more patient and more gracious and more cultured and more refined. I realize that, and have a greater heart many times and most of the time than a man. But did you notice that Abraham didn't even talk it over with his wife? Let me tell you men something. When God speaks to you, you don't have to ask your wife. It'll be all right. And the women can just kind of raise their eyebrows, you know, and swell up a little bit and say, where y'all going? Brother, when God gets through speaking, it's just none of the wife's business. It's the business of the man to go ahead and do what God... And here's the sweet thing. I think Sarah had enough confidence to believe that her husband, whatever he was doing and where he was going, was all right. Abraham could have put a bigger scene on, couldn't he? He really could. Boy, he could wax in the flesh, you know. He could have said, Sarah, that me and Isaac going up on the mountain, I'm picking kill him. That's what you're doing, that butcher knife. Yeah. Isn't that like the flesh, huh? Oh, brother. Talk about getting up and whining and complaining. And nobody'll ever know what I've gone through. Well, brother, if you've gone through, you ought to be shouting about it. The thing that bothers me is that when it looks like I'm not getting through. Amen. I tell you, praise God for the privilege of journeying along with faith. Now, he didn't call Sarah in and said, well, Sarah, I want you to pray with. And Isaac, sonny boy, you know how much you mean to me, but I guess I'll have to cut your head off tomorrow. Huh? No, he didn't tell him that. Oh, I'm talking about a man of faith. It's all right. It's all right. Lord, you don't have to understand all of, tell me all about it and make me understand. All I want to do is faith to follow. I'll show the explanation in a little bit. So here he goes. They're climbing the mountain. Sarah fixed them a good breakfast, I guess. And they're going up the hill. Isaac kissed his mother goodbye. And notice, this is the picture. Rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. Think about it. The third day, they've been traveling, been moving along. They're getting way away from home. Abraham said to his son, young men, abide ye here with the ass and and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Yeah, look here. What did he say? He said, we're going up and worship and then we're coming back. That's faith, isn't it? Huh? No wonder he wasn't squalling and bawling. He said, we'll be back. Well, Abraham, why don't you leave your butcher knife? No, I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to take the wood right on. I'm going to do what God told me to do. And I'll guarantee you, if God doesn't stop me, my son will be dead in a little bit. You know my subject tonight, don't you? I'm telling it now. Putting your Isaac on the altar. You remember the old preachers used to cry and preach and say, have you laid your Isaac on the altar? Well, dear friends, let me tell you something. You'll never really get possession and enjoy your Isaac until your Isaac is laid on the altar. You'd say, Brother Olaf, what is my Isaac? That's the thing you love more than you love anything else in this world. A lot of people say, well, you know, I gave up my cigarette. That's my Isaac. That's a sorry Isaac. That sure is. That's about the smallest little Isaac I've ever seen in my life. Well, I put my Isaac on the altar. Yeah? You better be careful, buddy. The thing you love the most is to be put on the altar. And when you get to the place where you put the thing you love the most on the altar, that means that you love Jesus Christ more than you love anything in this world. Amen. How long has it been since you've been up on Mount Moriah to say, Lord, here's my altar. I take this old butcher knife and cut it loose from me. Abraham said unto his young men, you stay here, and the lad will go yonder and worship. Not doubt if we've ever learned what that word worship means. John chapter 4, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. That's right. Dear friends, Isaac's got the old cross. He's carrying his cross. He took the fire in his hand. And a knife. And they went both of them together. One of the lessons in this great chapter is that in this instance, this is not to be a public execution. To be a private time of worship between father and son. We see Abraham as he takes his choicest blessing, his answer to prayer. The one he waited so long before he held him in his arms as an old centenarian, a 100-year-old man. And now then, he's fixing to take the butcher knife to him. Got him under the cross. under a low load of wood, and they're marching up together, and they're going to go up and worship. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, you notice he didn't say old man. He said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. Time to worship. There up at the place to worship. And when the son said to his father, Father, the father said, Son, I'm right here with you. Well, that's where they ought to be when it comes time to worship. These stinking husbands that get in their little camper, you know, and haul their little boys out to the lake for recreation, you know. Oh, I just love to be with my boys. Yeah. Have you ever thought about taking a big, nice pew in the church house and letting the preacher preach to you for a while? Oh, I know. I've heard it won't work. The family that plays together stays together. I don't believe a word of it. A household is more sacred than that. I'd think the household that prays together stays together. And that is, as nobody can take your place when it comes time to pray with your family. And so he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them together, and he said, Father, he said, I'm here, son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? There's a little boy that's looking all around. He said, Daddy, you got the butcher knife, and I've got the wood, and we got the fire, and we got sin. And Daddy, it's sure going to take a lamb, isn't it, to get rid of our sin. Somebody's got to shed some blood. I know that. Listen, wouldn't that be something if we'd teach our children that they're sinners and it'll take a lamb to cover their sin? Oh, I ran into a lady the other day, a week ago, and she said, We ought not to teach our children they're bad and they're sinners. Said, You're wrong when you teach them that. I said, All have sinned, and you're wicked when you talk like that. I said, Every little child is a sinner and needs a Savior. All of us are wicked on the inside. And so this little boy was taught by his daddy that he needed a lamb. He said, Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, This is the answer of faith, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. Now I want you to notice something else. The son didn't argue with the father. Neither did Jesus argue with his father. Oh, listen, dear friends. When volunteers were called for, Jesus, of course, was glad to come. He said he gave himself, freely gave himself for us all. Now then, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? But he said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Brother, Abraham laid his Isaac on the altar. And I mean, he had already bound him, just like you'd bind a lamb and fix him where you fix him to. Let him be the sacrifice. Abraham has already. Now, would you turn to the book of Hebrews? And this will stop you from wondering about why Abraham wasn't so upset. Now, you'd say, Brother Olaf, do you believe that Abraham knew how he's coming out? Well, he knew that he's coming out all right, one way or the other. You'd say, do you believe that he was not going to have to kill his son? That doesn't enter into it at all. God told him to kill his son, offer him for a burnt offering. So far as he's concerned, that's what he was going to do. I mean, faith doesn't just have a bunch of little silly wishing. You know, people look like they fish in the wishing well most of the time instead of in the praying, believing well. And so he said in the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 17, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting. He's going over to his accounting department now. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now that's the reason he didn't whine and cry and stay up all night and take tranquilizers. That's why he didn't have to go to the drugstore and get a sleeping pill. See, he believed God. You'd say, Brother Wolof, do you believe that Abraham would have really put the butcher knife? I guess he would. Do you think Isaac would have permitted it? Listen, Isaac was helpless. He was bound. He's already laid on the wood pile. I mean, he's hanging on the cross. I mean, there's nothing left for him to do except to let the strong hand and the sharp knife of his father sever his head and cut those jugular veins and watch that little old head roll off. You'd say, well, don't you think Abraham was worried? No, you see what I'm trying to get over. Faith doesn't worry. Faith doesn't worry. See, Abraham had already gone over to talk to heaven, certified public accountant. Amen? He'd already been over to the accounting department. And he got over there and he said, all right, now in the morning I'm going to take my son and I'm starting up the mountainside. We'll be gone 3 days. And the accounting department said, everything's all right. Go ahead. We got it all figured out. And so he goes on. He goes on. And dear friends, it doesn't strain my faith one bit to believe that Abraham was sure that if he went ahead and carried out the command of the Lord and cut his head off, the blood of his own son would have had to be the sin offering. And then he had faith enough to believe that God could take the head, stick it back on the shoulders, and say, son, get up now and go back with your father. Because the father said, we're going up in worship and we're coming back. He didn't say, we're going up and I'm coming back. He said, we're going up and we're coming back. I'm going to worship. We're going up and worship the Father. Brother, faith is a great... You can only worship by faith. Oh, how it pleases God when His children believe Him. Your works don't amount to anything. All the stewing and the running and circling and religious racket we make don't amount to a hill of beans in East Texas. Brother, it's just our faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's obeying the Word of God. And when we obey the Word of God, God becomes responsible and we don't. We've discharged our responsibility when we obey the Lord. God didn't tell us to run an information bureau. Great burdens rolled off my shoulders back yonder many years ago when I found out that every time tragedy struck in somebody's community, I didn't have to go over there and explain why. Because in the first place, I couldn't. But I could say God's grace is sufficient. And no temptation hath taken you but such as is common to man. God's faithful. And so sure enough, they came to the place. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here am I. Here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You put your Isaac on the altar, didn't you?
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Lay Your Isaac on the Altar. Now to receive this message on a CD, ask for offer number RO3193. Now, it's important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for $10 to cover that, and also we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. To use your credit card, it's 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of October, it's Brother Roloff really expressing himself in a very unique way in presenting Bible truths and messages during the preaching ministry. The little booklet's entitled, Words Fitly Spoken.
And if you would like to have this booklet, ask for offer number RO124. Again, the title is Words Fitly Spoken. It's a booklet of famous quotes with many of his expressions used during the ministry. It's 88 pages long, and I know that if you don't have it by now, you'll want to receive it. Now, when requesting it, ask for offer number RO124 and send in $8. To order by credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you can write at the roll-off Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. Now, we've had a very difficult summer financially, as many ministries have, and we're trying to catch up with the deficit that we had incurred during that time. So if you can put a gift in the mailbox today, it would be greatly appreciated, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Again, the address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you a wonderful day, and we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.